Chapter 4. We made good time to Newark, even though the road was heavily littered with abandoned cars. Some had been crushed, but I wasn't sure if that was from a very large dinosaur passing through, or a fight between dinosaurs like we'd witnessed in Cambridge. Oddly, we didn't see any bodies among the trail of debris, and I wondered if someone had been brave enough to collect the dead. We had just passed the Beacon Hill Road when we hit a stretch that had clearly been bombed by the military. The road was non-existent, and not a single structure was still intact. Rubble was everywhere, and I caught the faint stench of rotting flesh.
"And I thought the death pit on the A-15 was bad,"
Becca said.
"Should we go through it?"
Haywan asked. "There are plenty of roads around here," I said as I looked around. "Maybe we could find a different route to Lincoln."
"Right. Time to check the GPS,"
Becca replied as she pulled out her phone. The blonde Brit wiped a few strands of her hair from her brown eyes and then typed in a request. Haywan studied the landscape with a scowl, and I guessed she was trying to map a way through the carnage. The Korean's blue eyes were locked on the scene, and I could almost see her mind at work as she took in the options.
"Well,"
Becca announced several minutes later,
"the connection is really slow, but it looks like we can get back to the A-15 on the other side of the river. We can head straight to Lincoln from there."
"So how do we get to the other side of the river?" I asked.
"I told you it was really slow. There's a couple of bridges, but we're not too far from one. That's the good news. And the bad news? It's one of the old crossings, and we'll be by the old castle ruins when we're on the other side,"
Becca replied with a giggle.
"And, you know, we're supposed to avoid the castle." "I want to see this ghost,"
Haywan insisted.
"Do you think he will appear if he hears the motorbikes? He's had centuries to listen to the traffic going by,"
Becca pointed out.
"Why would he suddenly appear for some motorbikes now?" "Because he hasn't heard any in some time."
"You two are talking like you really believe there's a ghost wandering around this castle," I said. The girls both looked at me, and I wasn't sure if they were really expecting to see a ghost, or if they were just having some fun. The girls looked as if they weren't sure either, and I saw them exchange a quick questioning glance before they looked at me again.
"I believe in ghosts,"
Haywan said solemnly.
"I have seen one. So have I,"
Becca added. "Okay," I said. "I can't say that I have, but maybe this will be my big chance."
"Perhaps it is,"
the Korean beauty agreed.
"But first, we must get to this castle. So, how do we find this bridge?"
"We take the Beacon Hill Road to the North Gate. We make a left, and the bridge will be just down the road. Can't miss it, I'm sure."
"Let's just hope it's in better shape than some of the other bridges we've encountered. All right, let's go find this castle." We skirted the edge of the bombed area and still had to pick our way through tons of debris. The road we were on vanished for short sections beneath the rubble, and we slowed to a walking pace as we tried to navigate some of the larger chunks of concrete and brick. As we moved closer to the heart of the town, the destruction tapered off, and we were back among the brick and stucco buildings that had survived for centuries. I could smell the river as we drew close, a clean scent of fresh water and reeds rather than the astringent stink of more industrial areas. The road we were on ended at the North Gate Road, and beyond the collection of buildings, I could just make out the sparkle of water in the sunlight. We made the left-hand turn onto a wide road and drove past homes and small businesses, all of which looked dark and empty. The cheese seller's window was smashed, and all of the shelves were empty. The wine merchant's door was missing, and only a few broken bottles could be seen on the flagstones inside. And the deli on the corner had little more to offer than empty plastic bags and a few half-empty bottles of Pepsi.
"Looks like Cambridge,"
Haywan noted.
"And it feels just as empty,"
Becca added. "But there must be people around here somewhere," I said.
"Most of these buildings have cellars,"
the blonde Brit replied.
"That's where I would hide."
"A good place," I agreed. "As long as a stegosaurus doesn't come along and crush it." The bridge soon came into view, though it wasn't as old as I had imagined. It was the traditional stone bridge with arches, but the roadway was more modern and even featured a pedestrian walkway with a green wrought iron railing. There were three cars stopped on the bridge, and the skeletal remains of a human near one of the cars, but there was plenty of room for us to slip by. I glanced down at the river as we crossed and spotted a few houseboats still moored along the river's edge. There was a towpath as well, still easy to pick out despite the weeks without pedestrian use. The river itself was wide and moving along at a good pace, if not exactly Whitewater Rapids territory. There was a moment when I caught sight of a shadow in the water, but then we were on the other side of the river and the ruins of the castle stood before us. From the other side of the river, the castle had appeared to be a solid fortress, with thick walls and looming towers. But as we drove around the edge of the structure, I could see that one whole side of the outer wall had been pulled down, and little remained of the interior structures that had once housed English nobility. The main hall still stood along what I thought of as the back wall, as well as three tall towers, and a shorter guard tower stood just to our right. But everything else was rubble. It was obvious that the damage was old, and I was about to ask Becca if she knew what had happened when I heard the pop and sizzle sounds that I'd learned to dread. "Shit!" I yelled. "I can't believe another portal is opening! Can you see where it is?"
I don't see anything,"
Becca replied as she scanned the area.
"I think it's behind those buildings,"
Heiwan said as she pointed toward a row of townhomes. I could just see the electric edge of the portal over the tops of the roofs, and then with a pop, the portal vanished. No looming dinos appeared, though, and I wondered if another giant snake had slithered through. "Let's not hang around to find out what came through," I suggested as I revved my engines.
"We can make a right up here,"
Becca said. We only made it about 10 feet down the road when we found out what had come through the portal. A pack of dinos ran in front of us, and for a heartbeat we stared at each other. The dinos stood on two legs and came up to about my waist, but they were long from the tips of their snouts to the ends of their feathered tails. There were short, downy-like feathers over most of their bodies, in a splotchy brown and white pattern. Orange eyes gazed at us from a triangular beaked head. And when some of the dinos opened their mouths, I could see neat rows of curved, sharp teeth. But the scariest feature was on their feet, where a sickle-shaped claw arched upwards, ready to impale the dinosaur's next victim. The moment of peace came to an end when one of the dinos began to make a "wheet, wheet" sound. In near-perfect unison, the dinos shifted until they were all facing us, and I had no doubt that their next move would be to charge. "Get into the castle," I ordered the girls. "We can hold them off in there." Becca and Heiwan took off without waiting for further instructions, and I was right behind them. We bounced over the curb and onto the sidewalk, and then we turned into the parking lot for the castle. We barreled past the small wooden building where you could buy tickets for the tour and smashed through the metal barricades that had been put there to keep the tourists out until the castle was ready to open for the day. We were in what was left of the forecourt, and I quickly spotted what I had hoped to see. "Over here!" I yelled as I bounced over the old stone courtyard. There was an old wall, the last piece of a building that had been torn down long ago. What was left was high enough to hide the bikes and provide protection for me and the girls while we shot at the dinos. At least Becca and I would be able to shoot easily enough. I realized as I pulled behind the wall that it might be more difficult for Heiwan, but the ever-resourceful Korean brought her bike to a halt and quickly leapt up on one of the ancient stones. "Get the handguns," I said. "They should be effective on these things, and I don't want to waste more rifle ammo if we don't need to." The girls nodded, and I saw them grab the pistols from their packs while I pulled out the Webley. It only took a few seconds, but we could hear the scrape of the claws across the road as the dinos drew closer. Becca and I moved to spots along the edge of the wall, and then the three of us waited for the dinos to appear. It was quiet for a moment with the engines turned off, but then I heard the odd "wheet, wheet" call again, and it grew louder as more of the dinos picked up the sound. A moment later, the herd marched through the old main gate where we had knocked over the barricades and paused to look around. They were well within range of the guns, and I picked out a particularly large specimen at the front that seemed to be making most of the calls. The crack of the bullet was magnified by the ancient stone walls, and I could swear that the birds actually jumped a few inches when they heard the sound. My target never had the chance to jump. The bullet smashed through the top of its skull and sent a brief spray of blood across the cobblestones. The other dinos didn't realize that the large one was dead, even as the body slumped to the ground in a heap of feathers. The "wheet, wheet" sound started again as the dinos tried to sort out what the noise meant. And then the crowd started to run toward us. Heiwan and Becca both opened fire on the first wave as the pack charged, while I started to pick off those near the back. I found one tall, lanky dino near the edge of the group that was nudging the others forward with its snout and fired a bullet into the center of its neck. The head flopped backwards as the winged forelimbs waved frantically, and a spurt of blood splashed across the ground. Two of its fellow dinos, apparently attracted by the metallic scent, finished off the second one for me. I found a third target just to my right, where a mean and slender-looking dino was watching the slaughter from behind the safety of a large stone. It waited until the girls were focused on the gate, and then it ran out from its spot and launched itself toward Heiwan. It didn't fly so much as leap really far, and it probably would have fallen short of its target anyway, but I managed to nail the dino in its side, and then again in the neck. It fell to the ground in a cloud of blood and feathers, and writhed on the ground for several moments before it finally went still. The girls fired a few more shots, but the surviving dinos were in retreat by then, and I managed to pick off two more before the herd was out of sight. We could hear their strange call as they ran down the street, but even that soon faded, and all that was left were the bloody dino bodies scattered around the ruins.
That was fun,
Becca snarked, as the old castle became silent once again. How many portals does that make in the last 2 days? I asked.
A lot,
Heiwan said, as she dropped from her position.
It's going to be very difficult to get to Ravenscarf if this pace keeps up.
Especially if we run out of ammo, I said. I need to reload, and I'm sure you two do as well. I know Walston sent us out with a ton of ammo, but we're burning through it pretty quickly.
You still have the grenade launcher on your rifle,
Becca pointed out. Yeah, but I'd rather not waste those on the small dinos, I said. And the Brigadier didn't provide us with as many grenades.
Where would we find more ammo?
I don't know. It's pretty standard NATO ammo, so maybe we can convince the folks in Scampton to give us some.
Do you really want to keep going?
Becca asked, as she peered toward the sun.
It'll be getting dark soon, and we haven't even found the highway yet.
I hate to stop, but I'm starting to feel like I've already run a marathon today. And we'd probably only make it to the edge of Newark before we'd have to stop anyway.
Oh, thank you,
Becca said in a relieved tone.
I know you really want to reach Scampton, but I'm so knackered I might fall off the bike if we keep going. This is a good place to stop, very easy to defend. Though it is littered with dinosaur bodies now. Does that mean we'll have to spend the rest of the day moving them out of here?
We could move to the upper level, I said, as I spotted a wooden staircase. We'd be even better protected there, and we'd be away from the bodies.
Well, if it's just for tonight.
Just for tonight, I agreed. We gathered what we would need for a night in the castle, including the tent, sleeping bags, a few rations, our weapons, and our ammo bag. After we made sure that the bikes were well hidden, we carried our supplies up the stairs I'd spotted. The steps were sturdy enough and still smelled like freshly sawed wood. They were a bit narrow, since they had been fitted into the spot where the original steps had been, and they didn't include a handrail. Never would have passed muster in the States. But we made it safely to the top and the small guard room in the tower where the stairs ended. The floor here was wood as well, and I was less sure about these planks than I had been about the stairs. I wasn't convinced the beams would support all three of us since they looked a good deal older. But the girls moved into the space without a second thought, and I followed more hesitantly a moment later. The old wood held, even if it did creak, a lot, and we made a camp of sorts in the middle of the room. I set up the tent while the girls put together a dinner and figured out how to turn on the lantern. It was dark in the space, even though the sun was still out, and I could imagine that it would be nearly impossible to see anything in the room once the sun finally set. When we had something that looked like a decent camp, Becca started to heat water for tea and instant noodle soup. Heiwan measured out a portion of wine for each of us, and then we settled down with our ramen noodles, trail mix, and protein bars. The wine was cheap, but decent, and the tea helped revive my sagging energy, so much so that I suggested poking around the ruins to hunt for the ghost of King John.
Not in this lifetime,
Becca replied.
He was bad enough when he was alive. I can't imagine how horrible he must be as a ghost.
And you were the one who laughed at me when I passed on Dave's warning, I replied.
I didn't think we'd actually end up here. And besides, even if the ghost isn't real, it doesn't seem very smart to go wandering around this place at night. It's probably littered with all sorts of death traps. I wonder what happened to the castle,
Heiwan mused.
Hmm,
Becca said as she frowned.
It might have been one of those torn down by Cromwell during the Civil War,
I seem to remember that Nottinghamshire stood with King Charles and the Royalists.
It must have been very old, even by then, I noted.
A lot of these places are built by the Normans or even the Romans as a way to keep the hordes in line.
I forget sometimes that England has been invaded so many times, I admitted. As an American, I always remember things like World War II and how the British held out against the Nazis during the Blitz.
America has been lucky,
Heiwan said.
Korea has seen a share of invasions as well. It's because America is so effing big. It's like invading bloody Russia. The seasons change before you even make it halfway across the country.
Never get involved in a land war in Asia, I mused.
And never go in against a Sicilian when death is on the line,
Becca finished.
The Princess Bride,
my Korean companion supplied with a smile. We laughed for a moment, and then I peered out at the inky blackness that was descending on the castle. The breeze from the river started to push its way through the cracks, and weird sounds crept up from the depths of the ruins. I could swear that something flickered briefly near the tower gate, and then vanished before I could really focus on it. Okay, it's creepy in here at night, I admitted.
You should see my family's crypt,
Heiwan replied as she stretched.
I wonder what the bathrooms are. I think I saw a sign back by the ticket counter,
Becca offered.
I would check there,
Heiwan said as she stood up.
I want to wash some of this dust off before I climb inside the tent. Not a bad idea. I'll join you in a few minutes. Jason and I will just clean up around here first.
Heiwan nodded as she slung her rifle over her shoulder and then grabbed one of the small flashlights we'd picked up at the sports store. Becca and I watched the petite Korean as she walked carefully down the stairs and crossed to the bikes. She picked through her pack until she found her kit, and then she walked around the dino bodies to the ticket counter. A moment later, the Brit and I saw Heiwan's light wink out at a small building near the entrance, and I assumed the Korean had found the restrooms.
At least it's easy to clean up,
Becca said as she started to tidy our camp. I do like camping. I just wish there weren't so many dinosaurs lurking nearby.
At least we took out most of that lost lot. I don't expect they'll be back any time soon.
We finished with the dishes and cups and put everything back into the small pack we'd brought upstairs. We even put the trash into a small baggie that we could drop in the garbage can, though it felt rather pointless since it seemed unlikely that anyone from the sanitation department would be by to collect it any time soon. I should probably clean up as well, I commented as I took in my dirt-stained clothing. I don't think you two would enjoy sleeping in a tent with me when I smell like this.
Well,
Becca snickered as she cast a sly smile in my direction.
Assuming we do much sleeping tonight.
I thought you were tired, I replied.
I am, but one can never be too tired for a bit of snogging.
I had a girlfriend back home who would disagree with that, I sighed.
You never mentioned having a girlfriend before.
Just in high school, though, come to think of it, we never spent much time together. I think she called me her boyfriend just so she would have a date for parties and stuff. It's not like we ever did anything on our own.
Oh, silly git. She had no idea what she was missing.
Have I ever mentioned how happy I am to have the two of you in my life? I asked.
Not in so many words. Though, as they say, actions speak louder than words.
I still can't believe you two tattooed my name on your wrists. If actions speak louder than words, that screams... Well, I'm not sure what that screams.
That we're happy to be yours. And will be yours for as long as we have left in this crazy world, whether that's a day or 10 years.
That would be something. To still be here in 10 years? What do you think it'll look like then?
I don't know. I'd like to imagine it'll be dinosaur-free, and we can listen to the birds in the trees and the cows in the fields again. I'd like to think that I could hear the sound of our child's laughter as she runs through the grass on a summer day.
Did you say child? I pressed.
Right.
Becca cleared her throat.
Well, I'm not quite sure if I'm pregnant, but the last few times, you put a lot in me.
The first time was an accident.
Right. The times after weren't.
Yeah. I've been meaning to ask you about that. We went through all that trouble to get condoms.
Oh, I know. And it was a chore, that. But then, when the condom broke, and I saw the mess you made inside me, I figured that, well, I've been thinking ever since we left Cambridge that we could die any day now, or the whole world could just come to an end.
Yeah.
I love you, Jason.
I love you too, I said, as I reached over to touch her face.
So, I say, to hell with precautions. If I get preggers, I get preggers. At least I know you'll do everything you can to protect us. And once we reach Ravenscar, my mom will be able to help too.
You're okay with getting pregnant? I asked, still unsure if that was really how she felt.
I'm okay with getting pregnant with your baby, not with anyone else's baby. I know Haewon feels the same.
Oh, I muttered, as I felt the heat rise to my cheeks.
Are you okay with it? It might be too late, but what do you say?
I said I love you. I just want to keep you and Haewon safe.
Right. You've done a great job with that.
I paused to take a deep breath, and I realized my heart was slamming into my chest. I'd like to have a baby with you. I'd like to spend the rest of my life with you and Haewon. And it would be great if both of you give me a bunch of beautiful kids. It just seems crazy with everything that's going on. Like you said, we might die any day now.
So, we'll just take each day at a time. And I want to feel your cum inside me each time we make love. We'll figure out the rest if there's a bun baking in my tummy. Deal?
Deal.
Come on, we should head for the bathrooms. Haewon will wonder if the floor finally collapsed beneath us if we don't show up soon.
We gathered our rifles and our kits. Then we picked our way down the steps and across the courtyard with the aid of a flashlight. The bathrooms were in a small wooden structure tucked unobtrusively behind the ticket counter. Becca and I split up at the doors, and I stepped into the men's room alone. I found the light switch and flicked it, and to my surprise, the fluorescent bulbs came to life. Unfortunately, they hadn't been used in some time, so the light was dim as the old-fashioned tube slowly heated up. The water was still running as well, though it was warm and had a slight metallic taste. I used the toilet and then cleaned up in the sink. I managed to scrub off most of the day's dirt and grime, and even found a small bottle of body spray and Listerine that someone had left behind. I ran a hand over the stubble that had started to appear on my chin and decided that could wait until the morning. Besides, I really wanted to get back to the tent and see if the girls had some more entertainment planned for the night. I gathered up my kit and rifle, and I stepped back outside into the cool night air. The scent of the river was strong, but so was the stench from the dinosaurs. They didn't smell like decaying meat yet, but there was definitely an earthy funk to them. I wrinkled my nose as I studied the area around the castle grounds, but the place remained still. I could hear the murmur of voices from the women's room and debated whether I should stay and wait for the girls or if I should head back to the tent. I didn't want to seem overprotective, but at the same time, I didn't want to take the chance that something else was lurking nearby. I finally decided I could wait, and I slouched back against the rough wood beams of the building and watched the edges of darkness for intruders.
Look who decided to wait for us,
Becca cooed when she opened the door and saw me standing nearby. The blonde's hair was golden again, though I wasn't sure how she had managed to clean it. Her hair was dry, but I hadn't heard the sound of a hairdryer, one I knew well from my mother's household. The busty blonde winked and stepped outside, and then turned to smile at the Korean. Haewon's long black hair had its bounce back as well, and it gleamed with a faint blue light as the beautiful Korean stepped into the moonlight. She flashed me a smile as she closed the bathroom door, and then the two girls stared at me expectantly. Ready to head back? I asked, because I couldn't come up with anything else.
Quite, thank you,
Becca replied. We switched on the flashlights and started back across the courtyard. I let the girls start up the stairs first while I did one more check of the ruins, but the grounds remained empty. I bounded up the wooden steps as quickly as I could to find my companions had already slipped inside the tent. I could hear their voices again, followed by the sound of their giggles. I think we'll be safe up here for the night, I said, as I crawled into the tent. I noticed the girls had set their guns near the flap, and I added my rifle to the collection. When I turned around, Becca and Haewon were both sitting up and had left a large space between them. It was hard to miss the invitation in both sets of eyes, and I felt my erection come to attention. So what should we do tonight? I asked casually. Maybe we should have asked if that group back in Bourne had an extra set of Cards Against Humanity.
You don't really want to play a card game, do you?
Becca asked as I crawled between the two girls.
Well, I am feeling rather tired.
I think I strained just about every muscle moving that dinosaur off Georgie.
Not every muscle,
Heiwan noted as her hand slipped inside my shorts.
This one seems to be working just fine.
That it is, I agreed.
We could help with your other muscles. Maybe start with a massage.
A massage would be nice, I agreed, as the Korean's hand started to slide up and down my shaft.
I'll bet your shoulders could use a good rub down,
Becca replied as she moved behind me. The Brit's hands moved to the nape of my neck, and her fingers started to knead the muscles along the ridge of my shoulders. It felt so good that I closed my eyes and let my head sink toward my chest. I groaned as the blonde worked the knots from my muscles while the Korean continued to rub my erection. A few minutes later, I felt Becca's lips move along my shoulders and then down my spine. Little bursts of electricity tingled along my backbone everywhere she touched. And then her fingers found my waistband and started to remove my shorts. Heiwan had to help, given how engorged my penis was. And the Korean giggled when I finally sprang free. The petite girl's lips soon wrapped around the tip of my rod, and I gasped as she started to play along the edges with her tongue. Her long black hair hid her face and tickled my crotch as it swayed gently across my groin, and I watched in a kind of hypnotized fascination while she worked her magic. My whole body felt as if it had caught on fire as kisses rained down on my back and cock. I couldn't decide what to do next, but I could feel myself start to shiver in anticipation. Both girls felt it, and Heiwan raised her head long enough to smile at Becca over my shoulder.
What should we try first?
Becca asked in an amused voice.
Let's try back to back,
Heiwan suggested.
I will ride first while you play.
The Brit murmured as she scraped her teeth along my neck.
That sounds good.
Becca moved around to my side while Heiwan pushed me down. The girls giggled again, and then Heiwan lowered herself onto me. For a moment, I had a spectacular view of her back and tightly clenched butt. And then Becca sat down on my chest, and all I could see were her perfectly round breasts. Heiwan began to slide up and down while Becca leaned forward and rested on her elbows. Her blonde hair drifted over her shoulder and brushed gently against my forehead, and a smile crossed her lips as I started to rub her nipples.
Jason knows just what I like,
Becca said.
Jason is very good with both of us,
Heiwan added. Becca lifted her head and started to moan, which gave me a quick view of Heiwan. The Korean was still sliding up and down, but I could see then tension building along her back. The muscles were taut, and even as I watched, I felt her start to clench on tightly to my shaft.
So good,
Heiwan murmured as she paused for a moment. Her pussy was clamped hard around me, and I started to drive in deeper, even though both girls were on top of me.
Seems like we have a bucking bronco,
Becca snickered as she fought to keep her spot. The Brit's face hovered over mine for a moment, and then she leaned in for a long, breathless kiss. There must have been a bottle of Listerine in the women's bathroom as well, because for a moment that was all I could taste. And then, finally, Becca's strawberry and wildflower scent and flavor took over, and all I wanted to do was suck the luscious richness of her lips deep inside me. While my lips tingled with Becca, my hips still moved in rhythm with Heiwan. The Korean had shifted slightly and now guided my rod to an erogenous spot that always sent shivers through her body. I heard the raven-haired beauty gasp, and then she nearly crushed my balls as she pulled me in deeper. Heiwan was nearing her climax, and I wanted to be there at the same moment. I pulled Becca on top of me and held on to her as Heiwan's body became one long, taut muscle. Becca sensed what was happening, and she started to kiss my neck and earlobes while I grunted with the pressure of holding on.
Yes!
Heiwan finally cried out as her muscles gave way, and I felt the Korean open up to me as her legs splayed even wider.
Oh, fuck!
I groaned as I started to pump my seed into the Korean's tiny frame, and Heiwan threw her head back and howled. and then my view of the Korean's arched back was blocked as Becca slid back into view and captured my mouth with her lips one more time. It felt like the earth stood still and the stars had all gone nova as every inch of my body ached to respond to the demands from both women. My hips moved harder and faster while my tongue wrestled with Becca's. Hei Wan was panting and begging for more, while Becca's hand started to tease lines along my chest. I thought I would go insane from trying to sort through all the sensations. But bit by bit, the world slowly returned, and I could breathe again.
That was some ride.
Becca chuckled as she looked over her shoulder.
Best yet.
Hei Wan replied in a raspy voice.
I'm filled with Jason's warm sperm. I love it. You need some inside of you, Becca. Think you can do it again?
Becca asked as she turned to look at me. Always, I said.
I want to be behind Jason. I want to watch you two this time. You are both so beautiful to me. I'm sure we can work that out.
Becca laughed.
He's still very hard.
Hei Wan noted as she slid off my rod, and then she let out a cute gasp as some of my cum dripped out of her pussy and ran down her thighs.
When isn't he?
Becca mused. We rested for a few minutes while we kissed and petted, and then the Korean slipped behind me. The girls had me place my head in Hei Wan's lap, which gave me a spectacular view of Hei Wan's breasts as well as Becca's body when the Brit lowered herself over my shaft.
Fits like a glove,
Becca commented as she guided me inside.
And always so juicy,
Hei Wan added with a sly grin.
Help that you got him all wet before me,
Becca whined as she started to gyrate her hips. I couldn't decide what to do with my hands, so they fluttered back and forth between Becca's waist and Hei Wan's breasts. The girls laughed, but it was clear that they were enjoying themselves, and they seemed content to let me explore their bodies as much as I wanted. The Korean leaned over far enough that I could trace my tongue along her hard nipples while I played with the Brit's clit. And then I would run my hands along Hei Wan's thighs while Becca tested various positions. By the time Becca was nearing her climax, I had felt or tasted nearly every part of both of their bodies. Hei Wan had given up on just watching and had moved to my side where she could alternate kisses between me and Becca. Becca seemed to be melting under the combined heat of our attention, and a long, guttural moan escaped her lips as she prepared herself for one last mind-blowing dig. The blonde swayed as her velvety tunnel clenched onto my shaft, and then I felt her whole body explode with the release. I started to pump harder and faster as she pulled me closer.
Oh, please, 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 oh, more, give me more. Oh, fuck me, Jason, give me more. Fill me up, put it all in my womb, oh, deep in my womb.
Her voice had sunk about an octave as she tried to speak around the moans, and then it shot back up again as she arched her back, and her moans became something more high-pitched and feral. I pumped the last of my seed into her, so much cum that it spilled out of her pussy and left a damp trail across my groin.
Jason!
Both girls exclaimed in unison. Ever so slowly, Becca's body eased downward and Hei Wan wrapped her in her arms when the Brit's back finally slumped forward. I helped Becca balance for a moment, and then the blonde slowly eased herself off my penis and collapsed against Hei Wan.
Oh, man is so good,
Becca murmured.
The best.
Hei Wan agreed as she rocked the Brit gently. I took turns with both of them after that, and it was well into the night before I finished coming twice more inside each of them. Despite the tent, the sleeping bags, and the hot sex, I could feel a nip in the air as we settled down for some sleep. The girls curled up against me, and after a few soft giggles, I heard both of them start to snore softly. Fucking both of them that many times had exhausted my body, but I still woke up before either of my lovers, and I struggled to figure out what had woken me. It must have been a noise of some sort, though I couldn't hear anything as I laid still inside the tent. I was about to chalk it up to strained nerves after a long day battling dinosaurs when I caught it again. It was faint, but it definitely sounded like footsteps. I sat up quickly, which knocked both girls to the side. Becca started to protest, but I quickly placed a hand over her mouth and shook my head. She nodded and sat perfectly still as Haywan looked around the tent in confusion. I saw both girls stiffen when they heard the next noise. This time it sounded like something heavy was being dragged across the floor.
I don't have any clothes on,
Becca muttered.
Are we really going to confront whatever this is while we're stalkers?
No choice, I whispered, as I picked up my rifle as quietly as I could. The noises had stopped again, but it felt like we were still being watched. I took a deep breath, prayed that there wasn't a raptor or a Tyrannosaurus Rex waiting on the other side, and then opened the flap just enough that I could look outside and study the room. It was still pitch black, but I couldn't see anything that looked out of place or any unfamiliar shapes in the room. So where was the heavy object that had been dragged across the floor? Goosebumps began to form on my arms, and I shivered as a cold wind blew in from the river. I took another deep breath, and then crept from the tent to get a better look at the room. The girls followed a moment later, their naked bodies glowing faintly in the sliver of moonlight from the one high window.
It looks the same,
Haywan noted. But you heard it, right? I asked. Like somebody was dragging something heavy?
Where did they go?
Becca asked.
We would have heard them if they tried to lug something down the stairs.
They must be on the battlements, I said. We crept toward the arched passage that led to the battlements. We hadn't explored the area much once we'd settled on the tower room for the night, beyond a quick look for dinosaurs and to make sure there wasn't a back way into the room. Beneath the stone passage, the air felt cold and heavy, and both girls hung back for a moment. I stopped at the edge of the doorway and studied the crumbling castle wall. It was creepy, but still, and a moment later I felt both girls stop behind me. We must have looked ridiculous as we stood there naked with our rifles at the ready and scanned the ancient walkways of a long, unused fortress. I started to chuckle, then quickly buried it when I heard the faint sound of footsteps again. And then, a vaguely human shape came into view. It was a man, with dark hair and a furrowed brow, and he was dressed in a heavy cloak that hid the rest of his body. He stopped near one of the crenellations and looked across the ancient wall and the River Trent to the city just beyond. The shape shimmered and flickered, and at one point a hand passed through solid stone. I heard one of the girls gasp as the man's head snapped in our direction. It was my turn to gasp when I saw the figure didn't have eyes, just two black holes with red pinpricks of light. The figure opened its mouth as if it would speak, but only a strange wail emerged. It waved an angry hand in our direction, then flew back along the crumbling walk as if the castle were brand new and the stones smooth and even. I think we just found King John, and I don't think he's very happy about it.